Let's go to Psalms 118, 118th Psalm. If you haven't been to Calvary, I pray that you'll make that trip today. So what's special about that place? Nothing special about the place. Something special about the person who died on an old rugged cross there and wants to save you, wants to give you eternal life. And a wonderful thing. Hey, you know, I was just listening to the words of that song. You know, this world, if you haven't figured it out, is completely overrated. And it come on, young people, you better listen to the preacher, okay? Because it everything that glitters isn't gold. And boy, it advertises one thing and sadly delivers something else. And you don't have to get very deep into the under the layers of this world and you realize, is this it? Is this what the big deal's about? But you know, when you come to Christ, you find something real. And so if you're here today and you've never been saved, I pray you'll be saved today. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing to know Jesus as your Savior. All right, we're going to read out of Psalms 118. I'm going to start in verse number 19. Psalms 118, 19. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. All right, I'm going to give you a 60-day challenge. 60-day challenge. Some of you are looking like, preacher, please, my life is full enough. Don't give us an assignment. Don't give us a challenge. Don't make us do anything. Can the theme for the next 60 days just be sleep, rest, and eat? It's not going to be super hard. Matter of fact, it's not so much what you do in the next 60 days. I think it's going to be a new approach to looking at each day. And I hope it'll be a help to you. And I hope that it'll make the next 2 months something special for you. You know, I'm giving my introduction now. I already started, so I'm just going to give it now. I woke up last night working on the message, looked at the calendar, realized today was November 2nd. Do you know that means there's 60 days left in 2025? Did I just say that? 60 days. What happened to 2025? 60 days left of it. So I guess I'm going to give you a little formula of how to finish strong. I don't know what kind of year it's been for you, but you know what? You can finish it the right way. And so I want to give you just a simple way, a biblical way of looking at life that I think will be a blessing to you. Psalms 118, verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go unto them, I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd give us some biblical principles, truths one verse can hold, and Lord, how honestly life-changing one simple verse can become in our lives. So I pray, dear God, that you'll maybe get some folks that's been maybe especially discouraged and maybe attacked by Satan and beat down a little bit. I pray, Lord, that you'll just give them hope and a new way of looking at life and an awareness of your presence in their life. And Lord, maybe we can help folks get on the victory side, Lord, before the remainder of this year. Thank you for all that we've experienced. As a church family, we go through a lot in a year. And we go through some of the highest highs. And we've experienced that with people and families in our church. And then sometimes we go through sometimes the depths of despair together. But Lord, we go through them with your help. And so I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear God, as we take a look in the Bible. And Lord, we want to live this life the way you ask us to. So I pray, Lord, we give real effort the next 60 days. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Verse number 24, here's the verse we're going to focus on, although I do want to look at The end of the message, we're going to go back up and visit 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23, because these verses speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy concerning how Jesus will be rejected. Verse 22, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. That's speaking of Jesus Christ. I think I might get into them now. Look at verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them. You know what? Jesus did open the gates of righteousness for us because of what he did on Calvary's cross. And the psalmist says, I will go into them and I will praise the Lord, the gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. And it's interesting because that gate of the Lord, we stand on one side of it as a wretched, unforgiven sinner, and then we walk through that gate, and on the other side, we become righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing to be saved, to be born again. But then we are given this verse, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I got to thinking, I don't know what kind of a year it's been. I was praying over our church family list, and almost in every single family, I had a little bit of time where I could smile because some really sweet things have happened in your family this year. And then inevitably, when I think through, I can also locate some things that perhaps were hard to get through and difficult to get through, and maybe for some still going through difficult things. And I thought, you know what? I don't know how the year's been, but let's finish the year strong. How about that? The last 60 days, I believe this portion of Scripture teaches us a way to live. And if you can build the discipline into your life, and I'm going to help you. I'm not going to give you a difficult formula, but I'm going to tell you, if you'll listen to the Bible, it can change the way you live. Too many born-again Christians are living on the side of defeat and despair. And you know what? There is victory in Jesus. There's a better way to live. And so we're going to take this verse, this simple verse, this is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So I'm going to give you a 60-day challenge from here to the end of the year. 60-day challenge. Number one, live the next 60 days one day at a time. You say, preacher, you have to. Well, no, there's people that manage not to. There's people that, well, preacher, it comes one day at a time. Notice how the verse starts there. He says this, this is the day. This is the day. So every single morning, if you'll get up and say, this is the day, what do you mean? I'm going to live my life for the next 60 days, one day at a time. You know, it's hard to live today if you're still beating yourself up over yesterday. You know, it's hard to be successful living today if you're spending the whole day worried about tomorrow. And it sounds easy, but come on, help me out here. Don't leave me up here by myself. I'm not the only one that struggles in this, I hope. But there are some days that I look back in my life and I think I completely threw them away because I spent the whole day worried about something that I can't go back in a time machine and change.
Right, right.
That's good. So how about for the next 60 days we just say this. Today, this is the day. Today is not yesterday. Boy, this is deep stuff, isn't it, today? Aren't you glad you came to church? Today is not yesterday. Amen. And today is not tomorrow. But today is today. And so for the next 60 days, live it one at a time. Recognize, folks, the acknowledgement. Acknowledge each day. This is the day. And recognize the uniqueness of each day. Now, there has never been a day just like today. Preacher, what is today? November 2nd. 2025. And by the way, what a special day. God loved you so much, he threw in an extra hour. I mean, come on. And we needed it. We needed it. I was so excited, and I went to bed thinking, I'm going to get an extra hour of sleep. Slept till midnight. Woke up at midnight. Went in the living room. Studied my Sunday school lesson some more because I couldn't get back to sleep. Went back to bed exactly at 1 o'clock. And fell asleep, and I lost the hour of sleep that I would have got. But technically, I didn't lose it. I just lost it, you know. But there's never been a day just like today. Now think about this, folks. November 2nd, 2025, there's never been a day exactly like this. There will never be another day just like this. What are you doing? I'm teaching you a way to think about the day as its birth every single morning. I'm telling you, if we got up and said, this is the day that the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Then you know what? And we decide that we're just going to live one day at a time. Today's not yesterday. Today's not tomorrow. Today is today. So live today and don't worry about yesterday. And live today and stop worrying about tomorrow, because let's just live it one time, one at a time. You're going to get one shot at this November 2nd, 2025. Why don't we just give it our best shot? So I'm going to give you a little thing to do, and you can do this. It's real simple. Preacher, I don't need a lot more to do. No, this is simple. How many of you know the course, this is the day, this is the day,
this is the day
that the Lord hath made,
that the Lord hath made,
I will rejoice, and be glad in it,
and
we got to clap. This is the day that the Lord hath made, I will rejoice and be glad in it, this is the day that the Lord hath made. How many of you, that's not a hard song to learn. How many of you already knew it? How many of this is brand new, you've never heard this before? Well, that means we need to sing it again. This is the day.
Wait.
Let's do it this way. Men, help me. We'll lead, and the girls will echo. That's it. Ready? Ready, guys? Here we go. This is the day.
This is the day
that the Lord hath made.
I will rejoice
and be glad in it.
And be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day.
This is the day
that the Lord hath made. And I say, preacher, you get that song on your heart, and you decide you're going to wake up the next 60 days and say, this is the day. Okay, let's focus on today. I'm not going to let the devil bring up things from my past and mess this day up. Me worrying about things I can't go back and undo, worrying about things that I can't fix, worrying about things that God's already forgiven. I'm not going to waste another day worrying about yesterday, and I'm not going to waste another day worrying about tomorrow. I'm going to live this day one day at a time. So start by singing that song. Number two, recognize each day as an incredible gift. As an incredible gift. Amen. November 2nd, 2025. You know what? Only the people who are alive today on earth get to get this incredible gift. Think about that. I looked this up. I Googled it. You know, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. So I know this is going to sound a little morbid, but I actually typed in, how many people die on average per day in the world? I know, 172,975 people a day die, okay? That means 172,000. I'm wasting your day. 100. Just trying to get through this. 172,975 people on our planet died yesterday. If that's the average, look right up here. You weren't one of them. So stop living like you were. Now think about that. Today you're given a gift that many were not blessed to receive. We're going to do a Veterans Appreciation Sunday next Sunday. Could I get serious just for a minute? You know, one of the reasons I get to enjoy what I get to enjoy today? Because there's a lot of, come on, men and women in our military that went off to war and didn't come home. And they didn't get this day. They should have. They could have. They'd lived a normal life. Didn't. So they sacrifice so that I can enjoy what we enjoy in the United States of America? And I'm going to waste it? I don't think so. I don't think that's wise. Thousands of our soldiers, sailors, come on, Air Force, Marines, sacrifice the gift of today so that you could live it in freedom. Don't waste it. I'll bring this up. 70 million unborn babies since 1973 didn't even get a chance to have one day because of the wicked, wicked sin of abortion. Wicked sin of abortion. Hey, your mom and dad loved you enough to allow you to be born into this world. Okay, honor that. Honor that. Think about that. Charlie Kirk didn't get the gift of today. I'm just bringing up somebody. We're pretty familiar with the story. 31 years of age. He did not get to live November 2nd, 2025. You do. Do something with it. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. You say, preacher, I can't do all that I used to do. Let me talk to the senior saints. We're going to go have a meal in just a minute. Well, then do what you can. I remember, Dad, you heard me say this, but I remember my dad coming to me at the latter part of his years after he'd had the stroke and said, you know, Jerry, I'm only good for about half a day. And I said, well, then, Dad, give a half day. Amen. By the way, for a man who worked more than a full day for all of his life, I think he could cut it short a little bit on the end and not feel too guilty. So, you know, do what you do it. Refuse to waste this sacred gift. Now think about that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 talks about redeeming the time because the days are evil. Colossians 4, 5, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. You know, when you have something that someone has purchased, matter of fact, I do have that. I was going to show this to you. And Brother Yoder, the Orange Tie Brotherhood back there, him and his wife bought us a gift certificate. And I don't know when you gave this to us. It's been a while back, right? And it's to the Farm Connection. Anybody know where the Farm Connection is? Over by Clay City?
Yep.
Out in the middle of nowhere? You been there? Good store?
Yes, sir.
I've never been there. But I have a gift certificate to there. Maybe redeemed for $12,000 worth of product. No, $20. I'm sorry. I haven't moved the dot yet, but I will later turn that dot into a, anyway, maybe redeemed for $20. Now, you know what? They were so kind. I don't know what the occasion was, why you gave this to me, my birthday, Cheryl's birthday, or I have no idea, but they gave this to us. Now, watch this. Here's the thing, because it's been laying on my desk, and you know how many times I've seen this and said, I need to go over to the Farm Connection, find this place, and redeem this. Think about this, redeeming the time, redeem this. And so I got to looking at this thing and I thought, wonder if it's got an expiration date, and it does. It says valid through June 23rd, 2026. Okay, now if I goof around like I've been prone to do and forget I've got this thing, have you ever done that where you had a gift card and you set it off the side? And then, you know, you realize about a year later, oh my goodness, and you pick it up and it expired. It always expired the day before, you know. And folks, you know what? If I walk in there June 24th, 2026, they've got every right to refuse to honor this because they put it right on there. This is the point I'm trying to make. Every single morning, God gives you something. He gives you something called the day. And it's a gift.
Yes.
Only you don't get it laid on your desk and ignore it. You have to live it out. Here's what the Bible tells us to do. Redeem the time.
Yes.
Get something for it. God gave this to you. He gifted this to you. Cash it in on something. Do something with it. Don't let it expire and say, I didn't do anything with what God had given me. So, honey, we got to go. Where's Cheryl at? We got to go to the Farm Connection soon, all right? Think about that. So live the next 60 days one day at a time. Recognize each day as an incredible gift. Number three, treat each day sacredly because it was created by the Lord. Is that what this verse says? Did you see that? This is the day. So let's live with a this is the day mentality. One day at a time. And treat it like an incredible gift. This is the day which the Lord hath made. So every day is a gift, and every day is created, made by God, and every day is a gift from God. Now, just kind of let that sink in a minute. Do you know who created the first day ever? Yeah, he's been creating them ever since. Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day, the very first day. Who made it? God made it. He made the second day. He made the third day. He made the fourth day. He made the fifth day. He made the sixth day. He made the seventh day. We could read about all seven of those days in the first couple chapters of Genesis. But could I remind you, he has not stopped making every single day, and he's made today. So treat each day sacredly because it was created by the Lord. It was God who set the earth in orbit around the sun. It was God who first spun the earth on its axis. It was God who divided up time on earth into 24-hour slices. It was God who created this day, he created it. And before you waste the gift of today, you might want to remember who gave that gift to you and treat it sacredly. You see, folks, if I don't cash this in, not only have I wasted the $20 of value, but I've kind of disrespected the person who allowed us to have this. Can you imagine on June 24, 2026, Brother Yoder walks up and says to me, hey, did you ever cash in that, what did you guys end up buying with that Farm Connection gift certificate? And I was to look at him all of a sudden and go, oh, no. And pressure's really on. I got to use that thing this week. And pressure's on. But can you imagine me looking at him and saying, well, the honest truth is, we never did use it. Now, folks, it would be a shame because of the amount of value that was there, but it would be almost more of a shame because I think he would walk away from that conversation thinking, wow, they didn't appreciate what I gave them. So treat each day sacredly because it was created by the Lord. Number four, decide now. Boy, I like this. Decide now that each day will be lived with a joyful heart. What's the 60-day challenge, preacher? Live every day, one day at a time. Recognize each day is an incredible gift. How am I going to do that? You're going to sing, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Treat each day sacredly because it was created by the Lord. And to waste it is to waste what God gave you. Number four, decide now that each day will be lived with a joyful heart. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Notice that the rejoice came before the glad. I want to point this out. Everything in the Bible is there on purpose. Yes. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, what we want to do is get glad and then rejoice. But God says, why don't you rejoice and then you can get glad? Amen. You see, folks, rejoicing is a command. Yes. Praising the Lord is a command. Right. Being thankful is a command. Right. Well, I don't feel thankful. Well, be thankful anyway. Amen. Well, I don't feel like rejoicing. Well, you've been commanded, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But this has gone wrong, and this has gone wrong, and this has gone wrong, and this has gone wrong. I know, and you're so focused on that, you're forgetting that this went right, and this went right, and this went right, and this went, well, we don't have this, and this, and this, and you're so focused, come on, you're so focused on that, why don't you stop and say, we have this, and we have this, and we have this, and we have this, and we have this. Well, preacher, this one part of my life is not the way I wish it was. Okay, you're so focused on that. What about this part of your life and 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 this part of your life? And you know what? The honest truth is, everybody decides how you're going to live. Everybody decides. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. What are you saying, preacher? If you rejoice when you don't feel like it, before long you'll start feeling like it. But you don't understand my circumstance. I can't rejoice and be glad because, and by the way, right now some of you are filling in the blank. So whatever's in that blank, it's that person's fault or that thing's fault or that circumstance fault. It's not your fault. Look right up here. Wrong.
Come on.
People around you that are rejoicing could fill in the blank too.
Yep.
But they decided that, yes, not everything's perfect in my life. But you don't understand, preacher, I can't rejoice and be glad because of this circumstance or because of this worry or because of this sickness or because of this relationship that's not what it ought to be. You know what? We can all make excuses, but you know what David said? He said, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Not be glad and rejoice. We're going to rejoice and then be glad. Listen, folks, the only person that can stop you for having the next 60 days be a rejoicing day, a joyful day, a victory day, the only person that can stop you from having that is you.
Amen.
Is you. Boy, this is good for us. I mean, we got first world country, how do you say it? First world problem. Boy, we got, you know what, good night, you know what? My phone died and I didn't have a charger and it ruined my entire life. Oh my goodness. Folks, listen, I know people have problems. I know people face some real things, but I'm telling you, in the worst day of your life, if you want to, you can find blessings. And you've got to decide. You have got to decide how you're going to live the next 60 days. And you're going to decide it one day at a time. So why don't we start out by saying, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Just make up your mind to be happy. Just make up your mind to be glad. Just make up your mind to be thankful. Just make up your mind to rejoice. And folks, listen to me. You can always find someone that's got it worse off. But preacher, I got this problem, and I got this problem, and I got this problem. Then head over to the nursing home and go room to room and sit down and tell those dear sweet people in the nursing home all your problems. And then get in the car and drive up to Riley Hospital and stop those parents that are pulling those kids around those little red wagons and tell them all your problems. What I'm saying is it's a choice. It's a choice. Are you saved?
Amen.
Then tell your face. I mean, listen, the only difference between person that's happy and joyful and I mean rejoicing and the one that isn't that this person has a perfect life and that person doesn't. It all is a decision that you have to make because God has been good to you. I said God has been good. I said God has been good to you. And for every one thing that you want to bring up as a complaint, I can promise you if you would, you could find 10 things to thank the Lord for. So just make the decision. I'm telling you, I don't know what your year's been like, but I know what the next 60 days could be like if you decide to. You know what? I'm going to live one day at a time. I'm not going to let the past run today. I'm not going to let worry over the future run today. I'm going to treat every morning when I wake up as another. Listen, today, I don't even know if I'll have tomorrow, but God's given me today. What a gift. And God created. This is the day that the Lord hath made. He gifted it to me. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to mumble and grumble and sit around and feel sorry for myself. Now, some of you need to cancel your pity parties. Okay, come on. Recall all the invitations. You've been sending them out. You know, get off social media.
Amen.
You know, I love these people on social media. Please, everyone, I can't tell you why, but pray for me. Everybody gets, what's going on? What's the problem? You know, they could just as easily say, I can't tell you everything that's going on, but I sure am blessed. Okay, come on. Yep. Even those of you that are grumpy, yep. Decide now that each day will be lived with a joyful heart. You can be happy. You can rejoice. You have a lot of things to thank the Lord for. Now, notice also the wording. I love the wording of the Bible. Let me give you number 5. This is the day which the Lord hath made. What's the next word? Now, isn't that interesting? This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, wait a minute. David, you can't make that decision for we. You can say, I will, but I can't make anybody else do it. Watch this. I want you to get this. Everyone in here has a power that the Creator has granted and bestowed upon you, and it is the power of influence. Every one of you have the power of influence. Why did he say we? Because David already made up his mind. You know what? I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to praise God. And I'm going to look for the positive. I'm going to look for the good. And I'm going to be happy. And I'm going to be thankful. And it's going to affect people around me.
Right.
All right? So when he said, we will rejoice, what he was saying is, I'm going to do this so well and so often that you're going to have a hard time not joining me. Now, are there people that have the capability of resisting? Oh, yes, they do. They're out there. We, you think we. You know, folks, sometimes you ought to come up here on a Sunday morning. And I want you to do my job for one Sunday. And most people come in and they're pretty happy and they've got a rejoicing, thankful heart, you know, and... But there's sometimes where, you know, there's people that just come in and they sit down every Sunday and look at me like this. Bless me, I dare you. I double dog dare you. Make me smile. Watch this. Now, I'm going to irritate them because I'm going to be happy. I like church. I like happy Brother Jeff. Brother Jeff is happy. Brother Jeff amens a lot. No, he amens a lot. Amen. He's been slacking off a little. Has your wife been, like, something going on? Is there, you guys okay? Everything? Yeah, all right, we'll talk later, but... And I'm going to tell you a story that you don't know, so I'm going to tell it in front of everybody. That way everybody can hear it, okay? A couple years ago, I had a family in the church come to me, and they were upset about you amening so much. This is the kind of thing that I'm having to deal with. This is the problems you're causing your preacher, all right? I'm sorry, Jared. I didn't mean to bring this up, you know, but... Jared's gotten it right now. He's okay. You guys good? You both good? Good. No, it wasn't. It was Sarah. It wasn't Jared. That was wrong. It wasn't Sarah. It wasn't Jared. Some of you right now are trying to figure out who was it. I'll give you a hint, but I won't tell you. All right. It's a family that came in and has come in for a long time every single Sunday. Looking mad, looking upset, looking angry, and no matter what I say, they don't laugh, and no matter what story I... And I'm hilarious at times. You have to work at not laughing, okay? And, you know, if we're preaching on something positive, they're whispering to each other something negative. And you know what? I'm sorry, but I can't fix stupid. And if you know what was upsetting them? Because they are coming to church trying to have a miserable experience, and it is frustrating them that you are so happy and positive and excited to be here. You are ruining their Sundays. And I told them that. I said, it's not Jeff Reiser that's bothering you. It's what's right in your heart that's bothering you. Now, folks, listen to me. Everybody in your house can try to be positive. And if you decide you're not going to be, then you're not going to be. But by the way, let's start in our homes. Let's just, come on, let's think about it. Let's start in our homes. Hey, come on, man. We like the part of the Bible that says we're supposed to be leaders of our home. Okay, well, if that's in there, then aren't we supposed to lead in this? This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. Come on. Your wife shouldn't have to, every single day, try to get you out of the molly grubs and always be working because you're down and depressed and feeling sorry for yourself. And she's got to try to do, you know, be Miss Sunshine all the time around you just to get you to be halfway, come on now, just to be halfway decent to live with. You're a man.
Lead your home.
And so when the kids are asleep tomorrow morning, I mean, they're sleeping good, get up early, go in their room, and just start singing real loud, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice." Come on, that's spreading sunshine. I mean, yeah, come on. Yeah, why are you girls shaking your head? No, come on. What are you? Hey, you know what? Listen, I don't understand. Come explain it to me if you can. I know your life's just so miserable. You know, you didn't have a roof over your head last night.
Come on now.
By the way, there's probably about 30% of the world that didn't.
Yeah. Come on, that's right.
You didn't go to bed hungry last night.
Come on.
You know, if you didn't eat, it's not because you couldn't have.
Right. Come on.
Come on, you didn't sleep on the floor. It's good for us.
I'm going to park here and be quiet.
I mean, come on, we're Christians.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Right.
No. I mean, we're an advertisement for Jesus Christ.
Right, amen.
If somebody's watching me and they're thinking, I don't know what he's got, but I don't want it.
Right.
Yes. What a lousy testimony. And it's just honestly a decision. It is a decision. It's not your circumstance. Okay, it's not because the girl you like can't stand you. Life you have to.
Yes,
come on, all yes, of us.
Yep. Yes, sir.
All of us have it a lot better than
right.
We deserve.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, this I don't think it was fair. You know what I'm going to say? You don't want fair.
That's right.
Right.
No one. No one.
I just want what I deserve. I don't.
No one.
What I deserve is to go to hell and spend my entire eternity begging for a drop of water before
yes,
my
sir.
Father.
That's right.
Yes, sir. This side of hell, I've had a good day.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You just have to say, come on, teen girls, be quiet over here. I don't know what it is from about 14 to 17, but if you're not careful during that stretch of time, you can become the most miserable person.
Yeah.
Lucky. You can become. How old are you? You're not there yet. You're not in the magic kingdom. Are you out in the morning? Dragging the ground, they keep tripping over it. What's wrong with them? Oh, they're just teenagers. Shame on you. Are you a Christian teenager?
Right.
You're a teenager in the United States of America. Are you kidding me? You realize what blessings of life God has bestowed upon you? You know you're not down in, come on, some God-forsaken communist country, some
right.
hole-in-the-wall country.
Come on.
And you're not sitting on the corner begging for a few grains of rice. So
right.
you can bring it back to your family. Come on, I don't want to be nasty or
right.
selling yourself for a meal.
Right, yeah. Yes,
come on. What I'm saying is, I don't know how this year's been, but I can pretty much tell you how it's been. It's been the way you want it.
Right,
yes,
sir.
It's been the way you led it. But this is good for us.
Yes, sir.
Because you know what? God has been good to every single one of us.
Right.
And it's about time we stop defining our lives by the few trials that God has asked us to go through
right.
and start stepping back and take a look at the bigger picture and say, I have been blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Now, yeah, it's a problem, sure. But you know what? Even in the problems, you don't have to face them alone.
Right. Good. Very true.
Come on. God's with you. God can help you.
Amen.
God can get you past it.
Yep.
Amen.
I mean, you have to decide.
Right.
You have to decide. Now, notice that it says we. I'm going to go here. All right, in the next 60 days, there's three kinds of people that you're going to have to deal with. Okay, so I'm going to say it out loud. That way everybody can just know. There's the joyful people. You're going to run into them. a lot of them attend this church. They're going to help you.
Amen.
You know why? Because they decided a long time ago, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Amen. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Period.
Yep. Good.
You know, we may have to face some things, but God's still good. We may have to go through some hard times, but God's still good. Still good. You know what? There's some things that have happened in my life, but God got me through it, and God's good.
Amen.
And I'm not wasting my today over yesterday's junk.
Amen.
And so they are a joyful, happy people, and aren't they a blessing to be around?
Amen.
So you're going to have the blessing of them. Then you're going to have what I call the neutral people. Okay? They can be joyful if you catch them on a good day. And they can be terrible if you catch them on a bad day. And they just let circumstances dictate too much of how they feel.
Right.
Now, you're going to have to run into them. By the way, those are the ones you can affect in a positive way.
Right. Yeah.
You see, these people are what I call thermometers.
Yep.
See, there's a thermostat and then there's a thermometer.
Right.
Okay, yeah. If I had a thermometer, it just measures the temperature
right.
of the room.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so these people are thermometers.
Right.
If it's cold, they reflect the cold. If it's hot, they reflect the hot. They just adapt to their surroundings.
Right.
So if they're around positive people, they're positive. Around negative people, they become negative. If they're around rejoicing people, they rejoice. If they're around critical people, next thing you know, they're criticizing.
Right.
They're just thermometers. Right. They're just neutral people, and they allow circumstances to control who they are and how they are. So you got the joyful ones that are the thermostats. Okay? Yeah, thermometer just reflects the temperature room. A thermostat does what? It changes the temperature room. It sets the temperature in the room. Hey, dads, you can set the temperature of your home. Moms, you can set the temperature of your home. Come on, kids. It's not just mom and dad's job. You can set the temperature of your home.
Good.
You can, listen, you can set the temperature of this church.
Amen.
Come on. If we have this every Sunday, listen, this is a cold, dark world, and it is hard, and people are going through a lot of stuff, and if they can walk in once a week where people are thermostats instead of thermometers, where people have decided to live on the victory side because they have the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the worst thing the devil could do? Kill me?
Right.
You're going to threaten me with heaven?
Right.
Have you read about it?
Right.
It's going to shock you. Heaven is nicer than Jasonville. I promise. I read about it. So the worst thing the devil can do, oh my goodness sakes, is kill me. And send me to heaven. But that'd be terrible, you know. Wow. But wait a minute. You're going to be around joyful people. You're going to be around neutral people. And those are the people you can influence. Okay? And then you get the third group is called grumpy people. Okay? Now, you say, preacher, I don't want to be a thermometer. I want to be a thermostat. So I'm going to be the joyful person. And I think I can affect, come on. You have the power of influence. I think I can affect people that are thermometer people, and you can. But there's some people that just decided no matter what anybody does in their life, they're just going to be miserable.
Right.
And say, what do I do about them? Be happy anyway.
Right.
Why? It irritates them.
Right.
Man. And there's some satisfaction in that. There is. You say, I don't think that's Bible. Well, the Bible says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I didn't write that. So God's like, there's some people you can't really help but just irritate them. Just be happy anyway. Listen, stop letting grumpy people make you grumpy. Stop letting unthankful people make you unthankful. Stop letting critical people make you critical. Okay, you got to decide how you're going to live your life. You say, preacher, but I live with one of them. Well, you don't always have to stay in the same room. You know, if you're married to a grump, then simply, if you're a lady and you're married to a grump, then you know what? Make him his meals and go set it in front of him and then take yours upstairs. And say, if you ever decide to start being happy, then I'll eat meals with you. But until then, I'm going to be up reading my Bible and rejoicing in the Lord. I can't believe I'm not charging for marital advice. This is golden. This is golden. Okay, so men, if you're married to a grumpy woman, then just be more cheerful. Why? It irritates her. And one of two things is going to happen. She's either going to wake up and start getting happy, or she's going to kill you in your sleep. But again, heaven. You know, there's is this live stream? This would be a live stream. Oh my. I forgot we were on the internet. Jeff Fugit. How many know who Brother Jeff Fugit is? Okay, so we're talking one day. That's been 10, 15 years ago. I have no idea. And he was one of those private preacher conversations. He's a very positive guy, but he was going through some difficult things. And he's just kind of talking about a couple people in the church that's kind of making his life miserable. And I told him a story that I've told you about how I went to visit the widow lady, and I was kind of venting to her because there was a lot of people in the church just being nasty and just stirring up problems for no reason. And I'm kind of venting as a young preacher going, I don't even know what to do with these people. And she said, go over there to the bookshelf, and there's a book. And I said, there's a book on the second shelf. Look at the title. And you'll know it when you see it. And I went over it, and on the binding of a book, it said, don't let jerks ruin your day. The name of the book, Don't Let Jerks Run Your Day. She said, pull that off. And I pulled it off. And she said, I said, is this a good book? She said, I don't know. I've never read it. She said, I want to read it. I just need the title. Take that home with you and put it somewhere where you can see it on a regular basis. Walk over and say, don't let jerks run your day. Man, how many times we let that happen? You know, you don't have 20 people say something positive to you in a day and one person say something negative and you're up walking the floor over one negative person. You know what? Don't give them rent in your head. Come on. Don't give them space in your life. God bless them. Pray for them. Pass them off to the Lord. Go be happy. You have Jesus. You have eternal life. Heaven's your home. Hey, by the way, if you don't and aren't saved, you know what? Today, the Bible says the best day to be saved is today. Today, today is the accepted time. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. I mean, there's no better day to get saved because, folks, you can't do the rest of this effectively without God. This isn't some kind of psychobabble where you trick your mind into being happy. This is a way you can live because of the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Because you do know that God's in control. Because even when he asks you to face things, you know he's going to teach you something through it. And he's going to be with you every step of the way. And you know what? You're not going to let the devil control your life anymore. And you're not going to let the devil sit on your shoulder and run any more of your days. You're just going to say, hey, you know what? This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And by the way, I'm going to rejoice. And everybody that's not rejoicing, I'm going to try to get them over on the rejoicing side. And the ones that just refuse to, I'm going to say, have a nice day. And I'm going to go find the crowd that is happy in the Lord and is excited about the things of God and is excited about what's happened at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. You hang about around a bunch of critics, you'll become a critic. But if you hang around people that have adopted this way of life, let me tell you something, it's a good way to live. Well, I've gone too long. Amen. Today's a great day to be saved. Bible says this, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The first part of this psalm, I mentioned it, you know what? Open to me the gates of righteousness. God opened it. Jesus opened those gates when he died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again. That's why he said, I am the door. Okay, he's opened the gates. And then David went on to write, I will enter, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. And so everybody has an opportunity to walk in. Everybody has an opportunity to get saved. Everybody has an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when you do, you know what? The righteousness of Christ goes onto your account, and your sinfulness goes on Christ. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Names written in the books, Lamb's Book of Life. And you know what? I get to live the rest of my life as a child of God. Man, even on a bad day, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, please, that you'd help us. And I know the burdens get heavy, and trials are real, and heartaches are real. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would just help us. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would learn to live on the victory side. We've got 60 days left. Can't do a thing about all of the other days, the other 345. It's not a thing we can do about them. They're gone, they're past, whatever. But we got 60 days left in 2025. And Lord, you want to be with us every day. You want to help us every day. You want us to have the right attitude every day. And we can. We can. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we just treat every day preciously. It came from you. You made it. May we just decide ahead of time. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be that thermostat. I'm going to walk into every room and see if I can change the temperature. And if I can't, doesn't mean I'm not going to pray for the person, but I'm not going to let them influence me. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us. I just think there's a lost world out there that they saw a bunch of Christians really get on the victory side and live it out. Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. I just think there's some of them that would at one point or another corner some of us and say, so what's your secret? What's going on? You didn't used to be like this. What's changed? And we would have an opportunity to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and what you've done to change our lives. So Lord, help us to live it out. Every single day. Lord, help us to live it out. We pray these things in Jesus' name.